For a split second, he thought he was having a vision from the drugs in the cig, but then the light came again, softer, whiter, and rapidly expanded to fill the entire Box Canyon as if it was high noon.
Son of a bitch!
Edward reached behind his back and pulled out a short hatchet.
What the hell is this?
Dropping the zoomer, John rolled backward off the rock he had been sitting on and grabbed the blaster from his bedroll. Clicking back both of the hammers on the double-barrel long blaster, the elder Rogan looked frantically about. The weird light completely filled the Box Canyon, all the way up to the rocky ridge above. But it seemed to stop there, as if it were a pool filled with shiny water. Now, how the hell could that be possible? You can't carry a bucket of light, he thought. Glancing down, John felt his gut tighten at the sight of no shadows on the ground, not even behind the rocks set around the crackling fire. Experimentally, he tilted a boot, and there was no shadow underneath. That was impossible. Mother-nuking flat-out impossible. Light had to come from somewhere. Air didn't fragging glow. He paused at that thought. Actually, yes, it did, but only at the bottom of blast craters thick with rads. Looking for his brothers, John saw Robert standing over by the truck with the loaded crossbow in his hands, the bald man's eyes darting about madly. Alan was walking toward the horses. John blinked and looked again. No, Alan was backing away from the horses, and there was an outlander strolling toward them. The fellow was slim and pale, and his hair was slicked down flat to his head, the soft face as smooth as a young girl's. The outlander was wearing some sort of white outfit, kind of like a robe that draped from his shoulders down to the silvery moccasins. Oddly, everything he wore was spotlessly clean. Damn near looked brand new. Now that was weird enough, but even more bizarre was the fact that the outlander didn't have any weapons. There wasn't a sign of a blaster, blade, or a bomb. Yet he was smiling broadly as if he had just won a big hand of poker in a friendly vill. Alan raised both knives, and Edward leveled his weapon. The outlander made a friendly wave.
Hello, Rogans. My name is Delphi, and we should talk.
Robert frowned at the use of their family name.
Frag there! Take him!
Right!
Edward instantly fired, the arrow from the crossbow flying straight for the outlander. But a few feet away from the man, it smashed apart in midair, as if hitting a brick wall. The broken pieces tumbled to the sand. John raised his blaster and cut loose with both barrels, and Alan jerked his hands forward. But the spray of birdshot and the knives impacted the same invisible barrier around the outlander and ricocheted away. Impatience flashed in Delphi's silvery eyes.
Are you done yet?
This damn mutie was taunting them, John realized in cold shock. Taunting the Rogan brothers, as if they were children playing games. Just then, a large rock slammed onto the shield, or whatever it was, around the outlander, and shattered into pieces. Edward stared at the stranger, more in puzzlement than fear.
Let me know when you're done. We have business to discuss.
God fucking damn it!
Robert threw the pipe bomb. It landed behind the pale outlander and detonated. The blast throwing out a death cloud of sand, pebbles, and iron shrapnel. The entire grove of cactus shook, dropping 100 pieces of fruit. And just for a single moment, there was a clearly defined shape around the outlander. Some sort of glass ball or transparent sphere. Then the force of the blast faded away, the rolling noise echoing into the open desert. Not glass, John realized, squeezing his weapon in frustration, but some kind of shield. There was an invisible wall as hard as iron around the newcomer.
Enough of this.
Delphi raised his hand. A blue light engulfed Edward, and the big man dropped to the ground as if poleaxed. Rushing over to the sprawled form of his brother, Robert saw that the man's huge chest was still rising and falling. His brother was only knocked out, but Robert had no doubt that the outlander could have aced Edward if he wanted. Hell, the outlander could chill them all at his whim. Alan's hands flexed as if reaching for more of his hidden knives, but no blades came into sight.
Who? What are you?
Tilting his head slightly, Delphi gave a half smile, as if enjoying a secret joke.
I have already told you my name, and as of this moment, you now work for me.
Robert notched another arrow into the crossbow.
Yeah? What if we don't want to?
Turning slightly, Delphi stared hard at the big man.
You have no choice.
He made a gesture at the horses. Lashed to the bumper of the pre-dark truck with knotted lengths of old rope, the three animals shook violently all over, then slumped to the ground with red blood gushing from their slack mouths. The brothers stared in horror at the dead horses and slowly turned back to Delphi. The outlander was still smiling, his expression tolerant, almost amused. It sent a shiver down the Rogan brothers' spines.
Don't fret about your beasts. You shall receive exemplary compensation for this assignment.
He tucked his slim hands up the loose sleeves of his robe.
Transport, reconnaissance, heavy ordnance.
Having no idea what half of those words meant, John said nothing, his fingers aching to reload the long blaster, but knowing it would be seen as a sign of fear. Forcing his hands to obey, the elder Rogan rested the weapon casually on a shoulder. In any negotiation, especially when the other fellow held all the blasters, a man had to stay cool and calm. If all you had were words, then try not to use any. That always threw off the other fellow, and helped even the balance a little. Delphi seemed to be extraordinarily pleased by the lack of action for some reason, as if a pet had done a particularly clever trick and deserved a treat. John took a step forward.
Okay. You got our attention. What's the job, Whitey?
Anger crossed Delphi's pale face for the first time.
Something has been lost.
And you want us to find it. Easy enough. What is it that you're looking for?
Salvation.
White mist suddenly appeared to engulf the four cold hearts.
Salvation!
Clawing for their weapons, the Rogan brothers felt themselves drop into the ground, as if the desert disappeared, replaced by an infinite panorama of burning stars. 2 hours later, the companions were halfway through their inspection of the redoubt. Starting at the bottom, the companions did a fast wreck on the humming nuclear reactors behind the thick walls of unbreakable glass, although Mildred sometimes called it plexiglass. Then came the life support rooms, where the hundreds of pumps and filters kept the base clean, warm, and uncontaminated from the rad-blasted hell zone outside the redoubt. Everything was functioning normally and seemed to be in perfect working order. But all of that changed once the companions reached the storage and barracks area. On that level, the redoubt was as bare as the last one they had visited. Every room, every closet, was completely empty. Even the beds in the barracks were devoid of mattresses and pillows. There wasn't a pencil in a desk drawer or a roll of wipe on the toilet.
If that last redoubt never got its supplies delivered or was stripped clean, then this one was still being built.
You can load that into a damn blaster.
Some of the sections seemed unformed and still rough along the edges. It was just little things, doors out of plumb, keypads off kilter, details that nobody would ever notice unless they had been in 100 other redoubts. Pausing at the next closed door, the companions took combat positions. With Jack keeping cover, Christy pushed open an unlocked door. The walls were unpainted, and in the next room the floor was only barely concrete, without even linoleum tiles in place. Jack's heavy Colt stayed tight in his grip.
Never seen so much nothing.
I agree with your double negative.
Doc eased down the hammer on his massive Lamar.
This is most curious indeed.
After checking out the entire level, the companions went to the elevator and pressed a button for the cage. When it arrived, they checked for traps, then piled inside. Using the tip of his Sig Sauer pistol, Ryan started to press the button for the garage at the top of the redoubt, but then paused and hit the button for the next level upward instead.
Impatient, lover?
Worried. If the blast doors are remotely locked by whitecoats, then we're prisoners.
Mildred frowned as she leaned against the bare metal wall.
Trapped without food. Damn! I hadn't thought of that possibility.
Starvation is a mighty slow way to be chilled.
Jack tilted his head slightly forward so that his snowy hair fell across his face.
Eat a blaster first.
Then again, maybe Operation Kronos only wants us trapped long enough to get weak, and then they capture us alive. Why fight an enemy at full strength when you can wait a few days and clamp on the slave chains without resistance?
Alive? Like for experiments?
Sure, why not?
Jack tightened the grip on his blaster.
Nuke that.
Just then, the door to the elevators parted. As the companions stepped into the corridor, they became instantly alert. In spite of the warm breeze from the wall vents, there was a dry chill in the air. This was something they had encountered only once before, a long time ago.
Just like that redoubt in Zero City.
Just as long as it isn't another Alaska.
The old madman in charge of that redoubt had a lot of funny ideas about breeding, and the companions had been triple glad to leave that place far behind. A recent visit had spooked them all. Easing along the corridor, the companions saw only bare blank walls until taking a corner. A huge steel door stood at the far end of the next passageway, the metal and ceramic surface touched with patches of snowy frost along the edges. There was no doubt that this was the source of the cold. Jack stopped in his tracks.
A deeper.
Ever so slowly, Ryan gave a nod. Yes, it definitely looked like a deep storage locker. He remembered the first time the trader had told him and JB about such things. Just another legend, they thought at the time. Only this one happened to be true. A deeper, a deep storage locker, was a special vault filled with dead air. Inert gases, Mildred called them. And then made colder than winter ice. The combo was supposed to keep everything from aging. Suspended animation was the white coat term. The ammo would be live, the canned food fresh, the blasters in perfect condition, the medicine still potent. The companions had found only one of these before in all of their travels, and that deeper had been guarded by a sec hunter droid. Doc used his left hand to pull back the massive hammer of the Lama.
How much C4 do we have, John Barrymore?
Blast? Not a scrap left. I'm down to road flares and bad language.
Maybe we should check the blast doors first, Lover, just in case we have to run.
There was logic to that, Ryan had to admit. But there was also no denying the fact that somebody had rigged their last jump, and he'd sure as hell feel a lot better about that with some spare brass jingling in his pocket. He hefted his long blaster.
We keep going, but spread out more. We'll need space if there's a sec hunter droid inside the locker.
Mildred shifted her grip on the scattergun.
What we need is a freaking bazooka.
Proceeding warily along the corridor, the companions took their time and checked every room along the passageway in turn, making sure there wouldn't be any surprises left behind them if the locker proved to be guarded. Once past the last door, the companions gathered in front of the icy portal and studied it carefully. There was a painted curve on the floor to show the swing of the armored slab, and a keypad on the wall offered easy access. Ryan holstered his Sig Sauer and crossed the painted line. A red light began to flash above the icy locker.
Warning! Warning! Intruder alert! Intruder alert! All security personnel to Section 9. Repeat, all security personnel to Section 9.
Swinging the Steyr upward, Ryan blew the speaker apart with a single shot.
Stupid machines. Can't tell the difference between...
A grid of steel bars suddenly dropped from the ceiling, and the corridor behind them was closed off. If anybody had been standing under the gate, he or she would have been smashed into bloody pulp.
Good thing.
On impulse, he dove forward. While in the air, something smacked into his left boot, sending the man tumbling. He hit the wall hard, gritting his teeth against the pain shooting through his ankle. Looking backward, Ryan scowled at the sight of a second gate sealing off the corridor. The other companions, now trapped between the array of steel bars, caged like rats. Her hair flexing wildly, Christy started to speak, but then jerked her head toward the ceiling as panels swung open and a Vulcan minigun dropped into view. The deadly rapid fire was covered with armored cables and enclosed in cascading ammo feeds.
Drop your weapons! Drop your weapons!
There was a speaker mounted on the Vulcan. Wasting no time, Ryan ignored the pain in his ankle and stood up to grab with both hands the electrical wiring attached to the bottom of the minigun. He pulled with all of his strength, and the smaller wires easily snapped free. But the larger cables were sheathed in flexible metal and only bent under his weight.
Alert! Alert!
The robotic weapon swiveled, trying to target its attacker. The barrels began to spin and the Vulcan cut loose, the armor-piercing rounds chewing a path of destruction along the floor. The tiles disintegrated, spraying out rubbery pieces in every direction and exposing the hard concrete floor underneath. But hanging suspended directly underneath the Vulcan, Ryan stayed just outside its range. Ricochets flew everywhere, several of the slugs zinging off the steel bars of the security cage holding the companions prisoner. In response, JB, Christy, and the others shoved their blasters through the cage and hammered lead at the shielded control cables of the deadly rapid fire. The incoming barrage tore the flexible casing apart, and Ryan dropped to the floor with two fistfuls of sparking wires.
Anybody hurt?
Mildred glanced quickly about as she slung the shotgun over her shoulder.
No blood in sight. Damn, that was lucky.
Christy grabbed the steel bars and tried to shake them. The metal grating didn't budge.
Oh, lucky my ass. We're locked in tight and you're trapped between this and the door.
Walking the perimeter of the cage, JB studied every section.